You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll look at how guns are bought and sold in Chicago and what's being done to try to stop the flow of illegal firearms in the city. First, the late Lloyd Barbie may not be a household name, but he played a big role in Wisconsin history. A civil rights advocate, a lawyer, and a Wisconsin state legislator, Barbie's life and career spanned many of the key social and political struggles of the second half of the 20th century. And he was often right in the middle of those efforts. As a lawyer, he was instrumental in the court case that desegregated Milwaukee's public schools. Here's fellow Milwaukee activist Father Grappi describing Lloyd Barbie.
He was a brilliant man. People looked at him at that time perhaps as being too radical. I don't think he was. He was fighting a school board that was absolutely unbelievable. They not only wanted to try to integrate the school system. They gerrymandered. You can assess the attitude of the school board at that time in the segregated and intact busing. Can you imagine that, taking black students to an all-white school and not even allowing them to eat lunch at the school, putting them back in the buses, sending them back to the inner city school to eat lunch? Well, that's what he was fighting.
As a state representative, he championed a range of progressive causes, including access to abortion, reform of law enforcement and drug penalties, and the legalization of marijuana. Lloyd Barbie collected his writings, speeches, and other materials to document the issues of his time. A new book edited by his daughter, Daphne Barbie Wooten, brings that history together. It's titled Justice for All, Selected Writings of Lloyd A. Barbie. Daphne is in Wisconsin for a series of book events. Daphne, thanks for joining us here in the studio.
Thank you for having me.
Your father did a lot.
Yes, he did.
A lot of different realms. Where did his drive come from?
He was born in Memphis, Tennessee, the segregated South, and he was an activist. He was a youth member of the NAACP back in the 1920s. He was born in 1925, and the South was extremely segregated. They had separate but equal, but it wasn't equal in the school. So he went to all-black schools, and he also went to a historically black college, Limon College, and decided that he would be an attorney and fight for civil rights. That's where his drive was born, if you will. Our family originates from Mississippi and northern Mississippi, Shannon, and their family got out of Shannon and moved slightly north to Memphis. And then from Memphis, he went to Madison, and then Milwaukee, three M's.
And what led him to come to Wisconsin?
He has relatives. They had relatives in Beloit, Wisconsin, and they told him that it would be much better off if he went to college, an integrated college, or University of Wisconsin, Madison, for law school, and that he could stay with them for a while in Beloit, get acclimated to what was going on in Wisconsin. And he came here and was immediately discriminated against, which he writes about in his book, when his cousin Ambrose Gordon and he went to a restaurant in Beloit and were refused service on the basis of the color of their skin.
He came from a very segregated city, as you said. He ended up in Milwaukee, which was then one of the more segregated cities in the country and still is in many ways today. What was it like for him to find himself facing the same struggles in Milwaukee that he might have faced had he stayed in Tennessee?
Well, for one, he was an attorney at the time he moved to Milwaukee. He graduated from law school. He had already successfully sued in the city of Madison for its race discrimination in housing. And he decided then that he would go to Milwaukee and take up some more challenges. He was also not only an attorney, but a state representative. So he was able, through the legislative process, sponsor bills demanding that public schools teach black history, Native American history, demanding that the schools be more diverse, not only in their education process, but the teachers also, demanding that the African Americans not be shot by the police, which happened quite a bit in the 60s. So the Black Lives Matter movement is not a new movement. It started many moons ago. Emmett Till, for example, who was murdered in the South, and then continuing on through Milwaukee in 1967, when McKissick was shot by standing on the porch. He was African American man who was a junior in the University of Wisconsin system, and he was shot by the police twice. He didn't have a weapon. He was merely on his porch, and the police said, oh, that's justified homicide because it looked like he might do something to them. And that sparked the riots, much as it did when Rodney King was beaten, and they had the videotape of that, and the jury came back and said, oh, not guilty to the police officers. But at least in Rodney King, they brought indictments. In Milwaukee, they didn't bring indictments. They just said justifiable homicide. And so, yes, he went to Milwaukee and he enjoyed a good fight and, you know, tried his best to bring justice, which is in the book, Justice for All. He fought against the school board, which is extremely racist. As you know, in the South, during that time, it was de jure discrimination, meaning by law. You know, for before Brown versus Board of Education, it was legal for the South to separate people by races. And in the North, they may not have a law on the book, but they still did it. It's called de facto segregation. It was segregation by fact. And the school board would argue, well, we're not intentionally segregating. This is what people like. This is what people want. And that simply wasn't true because, as you stated, there was busing. There was busing, intact busing, where they would take African-American school children from predominantly black schools that needed repairs, which happened quite often, and take them to predominantly white schools, and wouldn't allow them to intermingle with the other students. They had to have separate lunch times. They had to have separate play times. They had to have separate teachers. So it was separate. And it was an in-your-face type of a separate because it wasn't hidden away in another school grounds. It was in the public schools. And they would do things such as the different type of silverware that they would give the children who were African-American versus that were non-African-American. The whole thing was right out of something you would expect in the South. And it happened here in Wisconsin in the North.
We're talking to Daphne Barbie Wooten, talking about a collection of her father's writings, Justice for All, Selected Writings of Lloyd A. Barbie. Now, this is mostly your father's writings, but you write in the introduction a little bit about what it was like growing up. You were out there in the protests and out there facing an incredibly angry response. Can you talk about some of what that was like?
Yes, I can. I remember marching with my father, with my two brothers, and we were of young age. I mean, I think I was 11. And we marched first against the Eagle Club. I remember marching the Eagles Club. Eagles Club was a private club in Milwaukee that only allowed white males to be members and would not allow African Americans in unless they were entertainers. And so we marched to desegregate the Eagle Club. We marched for fair housing across the South Street Bridge. And I recall people yelling and jeering at us, breaking beer bottles, jagged edge of the beer bottles, throwing it at children, calling us an N-word, yelling just as you may see in some of the movies of the South or the Pettus Bridge, the marches across the Pettus Bridge in Alabama. That happened over here in Milwaukee, too. And so these are some of the things that I experienced as a child, and I learned that you have to stand up for your rights, even in the face of ugliness, racism, sexism. You have to keep going forward and stand up for your rights, because eventually there was a fair housing bill. My father sponsored it, by the way, that did pass, as you know, he won the school board case, although it took him over 10 years to do so. So it just taught me a lot of standing up for your rights and keep on marching and keep vocalizing and protesting, which I understand now the University of Wisconsin is trying to eliminate students' ability to protest, which I think is a violation of due process rights. And in the book, I recall that he'd go to Oshkosh, University of Wisconsin, Oshkosh, because 12 students, African-American students, demanded that the University of Oshkosh teach black studies. And that was a radical idea, I guess, for the University of Oshkosh. And they had their list of what their demands were, and they were immediately arrested and expelled from the school at the University of Wisconsin, Oshkosh. And my father represented them. And he brought forth a case which says you can't expel a student for protesting without a due process right, without a hearing. Show us which rule was violated. Give us proof that it was violated. And you have to have a hearing before you can expel a student. So he did bring this case, and it's discussed in the book. So I hope those of you who are planning protests will read the book and know that you're not the first. You're probably not going to be the last, but you have to do what you have to do to bring in progressive change.
I want to listen to your father's voice a bit. Here he is sharing his thoughts on people of color and whites in the civil rights movement.
As Father Gruppy moved on further, the times caught up, even in a place like Milwaukee, in a state like Wisconsin, where if one is going to be a leader of changes that relate to race, that members of that race should be the leaders. Really, if there's going to be any leadership, you certainly wouldn't expect it from whites, because if whites were leading blacks, we wouldn't have had slavery. And certainly wouldn't have had to wait all the years we did after Reconstruction.
Now, going through what your father wrote here, what lessons do you see here for leadership in the civil rights efforts today?
Well, I see, unfortunately, a lot of the same problems that happened 40 years ago reoccurring. For example, my father was very much for birth control. And then in the book, he talks about how a lot of the other legislators first did not want to support birth control. And their reasoning was, if we give poor people birth control, then we won't have children or people to fight in our armies. That's pretty scary, because what it's saying is that we are keeping people poor to have babies and pregnant so that we can use them for the war machine. That's pretty clear. So now my understanding is that coming from this new regime, that they are saying we shouldn't have, women should not have birth control paid for by their employer's insurance company, but yet Viagra is paid for by the insurance company. It's pretty clear that that's based upon sex, and that that's sex discrimination. I'm sure there will be lawsuits if they haven't already been filed. But the point is, we should not go backwards. We fought so hard for progress. We should be moving forward. That shouldn't even be a debatable issue, but it is a debatable issue. So that's one example, is that you just got to keep forward and hope that as you continue to struggle and search for justice and fight for justice, that eventually it will stick.
We'll leave it there for now. Daphne, thanks so much for coming up to the studio today.
Oh, thank you for having me. Aloha.
That's civil rights attorney Daphne Barbie Wooten. She's the daughter of noted Wisconsin civil rights activist and state lawmaker Lloyd Barbie. She edited a book of his writings. It's called Justice for All, Selected Writings of Lloyd A. Barbie. You can find details about her book events around the state this week at wisconsinhistory.org/calendar. Coming up, we'll look at the illegal gun trade in Chicago, a city gripped by gun violence, and hear the stories of some of the individuals who got pulled into the web of gun sales. That's coming up here on Central Time.